Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've always said it's hard to preach on Easter. I mean, Christmas is not that easy to preach on either, but Easter, there's just so much going on around the festival that finding anything new to say seems to be almost impossible. And that's really the way it ought to be anyway. For ours is not a religion of innovation, but of tradition. We value things that modernity casts aside as useless or worthless. And so when you come to a great festival of the church, like Easter, with the best hymns and music that humanity has to offer, breakfast after a sunrise service, and all of the banners, and all of the lilies, and the new dresses, and the bonnets, and the suits, and the liturgies, and those same readings, that same faith, that same story given to us anew every single year, it makes it hard to think of anything new. For it's not new. This is the same message we've been preaching for 2,000 years. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And so I come to this once in a lifetime opportunity, I hope, to perhaps preach upon the saddest Easter we can remember. Now, we may have had worse Easters, to tell you the truth, within our history. I mean, we have celebrated Easter in the midst of war. Some of you listening here may remember celebrating Easter in the jungles of Vietnam. Some of you may remember an Easter in the deserts of Iraq. We have Easters in the midst of disasters. I remember as a child in Arkansas, there was a tornado had ripped through a small town on Holy Saturday. A congregation arose in the morning on Easter Sunday to find their church obliterated. We've had shootings. We've had volcanoes. We've had recessions. We've had all kinds of other assorted calamities. But in those cases, most of us were together. Not like this. Each of us separated unto his own home, unto his own house. My family, growing up, was not particularly religious. We didn't really start going to church until I was maybe 10 or 11. So there were Easters that I had missed. I've missed quite a few if you count those days. Many of you have never. Many of you have never missed an Easter Sunday. You've been in church worshiping our Lord every Easter for every year of your life. I find it sad. And I miss you. I miss the hymns. I know we just sang them, but it loses something when it's not corporate. The banners are all here. Every one of them has been hung with care. You can't see them. It's not the same. And yet he is still risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Leading that he is risen, by the way, is my favorite part of being a pastor. It's my favorite part. That and having Monday off. Tell you what, having Monday off, that's good too. I find it really fascinating. For some people, this Easter is going to be just like many of the other Easters that they've celebrated. They'll get up maybe mid-morning on Easter Sunday. They'll turn on the radio or the talk shows on Sunday, and they'll go, "Hey, it's Easter! Yay!" And that'll be it. While we miss our time here together, we will celebrate Easter. And we will celebrate Easter, by the way. We're going to. Easter is a season. It's not just the one festival day like Christmas. It's a season. It runs for days. Easter is a season. It runs for 7 weeks. And the next time we come back, when we come together, we will celebrate together the festival, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't promise the lilies will still be alive. But we will worship and celebrate together. In the meantime, you have to remember that our Easter celebration has not been canceled. You can't cancel Easter. And our festival has been delayed. We live in strange times. We are participating involuntarily, by the way, what I hope is a world global effort. It's a health effort. I saw on TV a big church in Texas was continuing to meet. One member citing obedience unto God's law as opposed to man's law. And all I could feel for him was pity that he knows so little about God's law. God does require us to observe the Sabbath, but he also calls us to obey lawful government orders. This shutdown is lawful. The state has not shut down the churches because of their message. The state has not singled us out and said that you, because of you preach Christ and Him crucified, can no longer meet anymore. We are still preaching. That message of the gospel continues to go out. It goes out on Facebook and on YouTube and over the radio. We have had services in drive-ins. There are services meeting in fields where everybody stays in their car. All gatherings are shut down. The churches are shut down. The casinos are shut down. There was no March Madness. Not that anybody would care. There's no spring football games, though, which is... There's no movies. There's no diners. There's no concerts. We have not been singled out. If we had been singled out, I grant you, we'd be having a completely different conversation. But in the meantime, we are voluntarily participating in a global health strategy, and it's cost us. It's cost us mentally, it's cost us financially. It has absolutely laid waste to my diet. I mean, you might as well forget about it. I saw a Facebook photo with a thing. Somebody had opened the refrigerator and there was a piece of paper taped with a note. It said, "You are not hungry, you are bored. Shut the refrigerator." Our educational system is floundering. Our economy is tottering. I pray it does not cost us spiritually. And yet the Sabbath day is a day of rest. And it was made by man and given unto us so that we might rest, that we might honor the day of the resurrection. We choose this day of rest as the same day of worship because it honors the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every Sunday is an Easter Sunday. We can worship on any place, any time we want. We can worship on any day that we would like, where two or three are gathered to hear the Word of God. True worship exists in spirit and truth to the Father. In South Carolina, churches are not even mandatorily closed. I mean, the state doesn't have an official essentials list, but we're not on the list of those who have been deemed unessential. We could probably meet if we wanted. Other states have used other words. My point is, we could be open if we wanted to. We could come. I don't think the sheriff would come and storm our doors. But God's law also tells us to obey the law. And realistic recommendations. But God's law also tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. To participate in a mass gathering, any mass gathering in the midst of a pandemic, it's not only reckless, it's irresponsible, and it's dangerous, negligent, you might call it. God's law teaches us to love our neighbor. We're required to help them, as Luther says, to improve and to protect his possessions and his income, It's very easy to throw health in the bottom of that list. And so today, as we gather to virtually hear upon God's Word, to keep the Sabbath rest, to revere God in our lives and in our homes, since we have, by virtue of our baptism, already died, we have already been raised with Him. Therefore, as Paul tells us, let us set our hearts on things above. And now that things above is not constructed to be spatial, but it's soteriological. What is above? What is that thing above that Paul is telling us to keep our eyes upon? Is it not the ascended God? Is it not our glorified Lord, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God? Set your mind on those things. Because we have already died. We have already died with Christ by virtue of our baptism. Paul says in verse 3 that our life is now hidden. And hidden has two connotations. Things that are hidden are secure. We have a real life Easter egg hunt going on in my house right now. My wife only buys so many Diet Cokes. And she needs 2 Diet Cokes a day. And there's only so many you can keep in the house. And so the children are searching for the Diet Cokes. And the wife is hiding the Diet Cokes. They are hidden, and when they remain hidden, they are secure. And in order to be secure, they must also be invisible. Our life is a lot like that. Our eternal life. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. That is, concentrate your concern upon the eternal and not the temporal. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul here is not encouraging a new world asceticism. He is not calling us out into the deserts. He is not calling us back into the monasteries. He has roundly condemned both of those in Colossians chapter 2. Paul is telling us that this life in this world is better. It is better if it is lived within the power that is beyond this world. It is better if it is lived within the power of that resurrected Lord. If we live within the power of that ascended God, live within the power of our glorified Lord who sits at the right hand of God. And earthly things, where we eat and what we do and where we work and what we eat and we drink, these are to be avoided. They're not avoided as if they are moral or immoral, that we don't disdain them because they are the material things of this earth. But from the moment of our salvation, from the moment that we were baptized, a Christian has died to all of these things. We have died to the evils of the flesh. We have died to the sinful nature. We have died to the bondage of house and home. And our life, our real life, our eternal life, it is hidden in Christ. And it is secure. And it is invisible. And it doesn't depend upon the trappings of our faith. It depends upon Him. For He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And we possess this eternal life now. It is already our present possession because of our baptismal participation with Christ in His resurrection. This being the case, on that last day, this life already present and given to us in our baptism will be manifested and you will be revealed. Though we already possess this eternal life, we have not yet fully experienced it. For now it is hidden. But later it will be revealed. In this life, the Christian possession of eternal life is hidden under the shadow of suffering. It's hidden under the shadow of cross-bearing that we must endure. Sometimes when it comes to cross-bearing, Christians seem no better off, and perhaps even worse better off than those who don't follow Christ. I bet every company in America over the last couple of days tell me that we're all in this together. I only wish it were true. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He is risen, and so have you. I read Colossians 3 again. Therefore, you have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are of earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. The Lord's blessings be upon your solitude, upon our days of cross-bearing, upon our days of suffering. The Lord bless you and keep you to life everlasting. Amen.